Well, good evening, Saints.
Good evening.
How y'all doing?
Fantastic.
Still got this lingering cough. I wish somebody'd adopt it. Give it a good home. Where's Liz? See, there you go. Uh-huh. I want to, before we start, I want to pick on Ryan tonight. Oh, this is going to be rough, buddy. Brace yourself. No, we love him. He does a lot around here. He's, this morning with the computer broke down, he's diligently working and trying to get it done, and smoke coming up back there, and, you know, but he got it. He got it. No, I told him this morning, I said to him while he's back here, I thought he was going to keep on working. I said, you want me to cover for you for communion? He said, no, he's got it. Then he come up and played the piano. But he said something this morning that caught my attention. I wanted to share with you about the blood sacrifices years ago in Israel and the animals that was sacrificed, and he said, if I remember right, we don't know how many there was, and probably, like he said, into the millions. Those of you who had been here for a long time, you remember Clayton Van Hus, our student archaeologist that spoke here a lot of times? I was talking to Clayton over the holidays, and him and his wife was back in Israel. They're students of archaeology. They're about to get their degrees. And in Shiloh, in this last dig they were digging, they found one of the pits where the bones, thousands of bones that was put into this pit from the animals. They're all animal bones of all kinds. And that's just one of them that they know of. But they found one of them. And he said it was just a big pit. And they were digging. And just bone after bone after bone after bone where they had dropped in there. And it's just another little tidbit to prove that this word right here is true.
Amen.
And today, I mean, what's this been? Ryan, 3,000 years later about somewhere, give or take. Over 2,000 years ago that this was done. And imagine this pit had been covered over with dirt for all these millenniums. And they found these bones in there. It struck my memory, and I thought I'd just share that with you. That wasn't too rough, was it, Ryan? Okay. Now, we love him anyway. All right. We had just a word of repeating here and reminding you, we've been talking about the secret of behaving like a saint. And last week we gave you some of the mechanics of the victorious life or the exchange life and the secret of behaving like a saint. And what I do want to repeat tonight is this, that we're getting into some of the truths of the Word of God that's not taught in every church, unfortunately. And these truths that we have in the Word of God can bring us to a whole new level of our Christian life, to a level beyond what it can be imagined. And it's all in God's Word. God wants us to know this. And this certainly is one of His secrets that is in the Word of God, not as a secret that He wants to keep it from us by any means, but these things that He wants us to know. But on the other end of that scale, you and I, we have to have a heart, a hungry heart, that wants to know these things. And I hope that you're here tonight because your heart is hungry and you want to know the Word of God and what God has for each one of us. To be freely giving these things that He tells us about. And that you want to mature in your life into a whole new Christian life. But it's a life that you must be willing to abide in Him for the rest of your life. No matter how many more days that God has prepared and given you. And if you're willing to do that, then God's Holy Spirit, He will meet you. And if you're willing to be conformed to the image of His Son, then grace is going to meet you there.
Amen.
And God will reveal and show you these things. But it's a lifelong, I don't want to use the word struggle, but it's a lifelong, a life of learning, a life of abiding in Him. Not just once in a while, but a life of abiding in Him, yielding and surrendering to Him, and allow Him to take His Holy Spirit and search our hearts and begin a work in us to conform us to the image of Your Son. And then grace will meet us there. And God's grace covers it all. And we began, and we're going to continue on tonight, not with another one, but I want the three R's. And some of our basic Bible living, and the first R that we looked at is realize, and then we'll go on next week with, not next week, the week after that, with some more of it. And the first one we had talked about is realizing. And one of the things, and there's many things, and we're not going to be able to cover by any means all of these things that you and I need to realize, but I'm just hitting some of the most important things. And that you and I, we need to realize that the answer to a lot of things in our Christian life lies in our attitude towards Christ and the life that He wants to share. And this is a sad thing that this morning, all over Pasco County and all over this state that we live in and all over this country, the churches were filled and packed out. And it's sad that most of these churches tonight, the doors are closed and the lights are off. Because the men and women that are born again, they are believers, they have no real desire in their heart. They don't have a hungry heart that wants to learn the things of God. And this is, and their attitude towards Christ is, oh well, He saved me. I'm going my way to heaven. I'm a good guy now, and that's all I have to do is every week pay my weekly duties to God, and I'm okay. Well, it's a sad thing. It really is, because this is not what God intended for us. God intended to live in you and live through you. And Dan mentioned that this morning, I caught it. That God is living in you and He wants to live through you. And I sat back there, and when I heard him say that, I said, I wonder how many of the 74 people we had this morning, how many of it went in here, or did it just go in or over their head? And it's really sad, because God has some great and wonderful things for you and I. If we just let Him. If we just let Him. And one of the other things that we looked at last week is we need to realize that now that I am a believer, I have two natures in me. Before I was a believer, it was just me. All alone. And those of you that got saved later on in life, how did that work out for you? Complete failure and disaster. But now that you're a believer, you have two natures that's in you. You have that old human nature, and then you have a new divine nature, which is Christ. Now the whole problem of Christian living now turns to that relationship between these two natures that we have to struggle with day by day, and in many cases hour by hour. And most of the time, in most Christians' lives, we need help. We need help to how to deal with this relationship and this struggle, which is between these two natures. And in trying, in our efforts to help you with this problem, we had you and we pointed you towards the sixth chapter of Romans, the first eight verses. And this is God's plan with this whole personal problem. We can sum it up in other places, but particularly in Romans in the sixth chapter. And we'll go on with beyond those verses here, too. And to help us realize that these two natures in this relationship with one another. And these verses helped us to understand that. Now, let's look briefly at Romans 6. Sixth chapter of Romans again. And in these verses, it is made perfectly clear that the death of Christ is representative and inclusive. Verse 3, and I'm reading from the Amplified, and Paul, writing verse 3, says, Are you ignorant of the fact that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were also baptized into His death? We've been placed into Him, and being placed into Him, we have been placed into His death. Now, Paul don't stop there. Let's go down in verse 5. He says, for if we become united or one with Him, and the Amplified says permanently united, in the likeness of His death, we will also certainly be one with Him and share fully in the likeness of His resurrection. Now, we'll set the resurrection aside for the time being. We will be getting to that later on. But Paul's saying, listen, don't be ignorant of this. You and I have been baptized, or we've been pickled in Christ. We've been placed into Him, into His death, and into His resurrection. Now, this in itself, folks, is a miracle. No other so-called religion in the whole world preaches this kind of a gospel. And if you are not controlled and filled with the Holy Spirit, you read this and you go, this is stupid. What in the world is he talking about? You see, it takes the Holy Spirit to reveal to you and I these things of God that God is trying to teach us. He's told us that about a whole lot of things. Remember Jesus and Peter's little conversation? Jesus asked him a simple question, well, who am I? And what was Jesus' response? And Peter, flesh and blood, this old brain, people and education, and I don't care how many doctorates you got, didn't it reveal this to you? He said, my spirit revealed it to you. Now, you know a whole lot about Scripture. Why? The Spirit of God has revealed it to you. And told you a whole lot. And as you keep on living and abiding in Him, He's going to keep on teaching you more and more. And then one day He's going to take you out of here. Okay, I prepared you enough. Now let's go. Like an old mama bird, He's going to kick us out of the nest and take us home. But then let's look in verse 6. Paul goes on, he says, we know that our old self, that's our old human nature without the Holy Spirit, was nailed to the cross with Him. Death again. Death on the cross again. And in order that our body of sin may be done away with so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Now Paul is telling us, why we died with Him. We died with Him so we will no longer be a slave to sin. Didn't say you would no longer sin. He said you would no longer be a slave to sin. See, you don't have to sin. You now have the power to say, I refuse to do that. Now, yeah, sin slips up on you, and, I should have kept my mouth shut. Or I got angry. I have a problem with stupid sometimes, and I get angry with stupid. I'm sure you do, too. Yeah, sometimes sin slips up on us. But sometimes you're faced with a choice. I can choose to do that, or I can choose not to do that. Okay? And if you run out of money, I hope you don't choose to rob the bank. Okay? You have a choice. Because the consequences is going to be pretty tough. And they're going to catch you. But the point is that you're no longer a slave. You don't have to. You can choose not to sin. And if you open up your spiritual eyes and ears, the longer you live, the more you're going to start recognizing. And then, hopefully, the more and more you're going to say, no. Satan, back there. Lord, I can't, but you can. I choose not to do that. I choose not to say that. I choose not to think that. Because the Word of God tells you right here, you don't have to be a slave to that no more. Verse 7. He says, for a person who has died, now, you've died, for a person who has died with Christ has been freed from the power of sin. Verse 8, he says, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live together with Him. Folks, he's not talking about just in the future. You live now with Him. If we don't, I'm crazy, because I talk to Him all the time. Okay? I talk to Him when I go to bed. I thank Him for that nice, warm, comfortable bed. I thank Him for the pillow. I talk to Him all the time. So, we're together with Him constantly. Now, the Word here is telling us that in His death, we all died. Verse 11 tells us why we died. You're dead. Now, look the emphasis here that Paul has given us. Verse 4, with Him. Verse 5, together. And verses 6 and 8, with Him. Doesn't that tell you something? Not separate, with Him. People, we cannot progress spiritually if we don't see this. That you and I, as children of God, are together with Him. We are in Him. Just as we cannot have justification if we have not seen Him bearing our sins on the cross, folks, we cannot have sanctification if we have not seen Him bearing us on the cross. You have died with Him on that cross. And not only has our sins been laid on Him, but you and I have been put into Him. That sounds like eternal security to me.
Praise God.
You and I put into God, our Savior. Just stop and think about this for a second. You know, people that have a religion, their God is out here, it's up here. They bow down, they worship in some form. Our God, I'm encased in Him. And He's encased in me. And He's also promised you that He's never going to leave you or forsake you. No matter what. I am going to be with you always. Why? Because I'm in you. And you're in me. And I always liked, and I've used this a couple of times. Those of you who've been here a long time, remember that obnoxious can that I had. Well, it was there for a point and a reason. Noisy and loud. But we put that bolt inside that can and shook it, and it made a big old ugly racket. And it was in the can. No matter where the can went, just like if you put a note in a bottle, which people do, and put a cork on it and throw it in the ocean, it floats around the world. No matter where that bottle has been, no matter what continent, what beach it's been on, no matter if it's been washed down below the surface, it comes up again. No matter where it's at, that note has been in that bottle. whatever that bottle went through, if it went through storms or hurricanes or a sunny day, no matter what it went through, that paper went through it too. Well, the analogy is the same, that you and I have been put in Christ. Whatever Christ went through, he went through the cross and shed his blood on that cross. You were there too. When he was raised from the dead, you were there too. And Ephesians tells us that now he has went on and ascended into the heavenlies. Guess where you're at? We're in the heavenlies, ascended with him. Even though we still live in this body, it's so temporary. Those of you that are up my age, some older and some younger, how fast has that went by? Yeah! I next Sunday I'll be 78. No shame. I'm proud of my age. Some are older, some are younger, some got more hair, some don't have any. I told Debbie Dayton a while ago, we talked about my head. I said, you couldn't believe 48 years ago we got married, I had an afro. Yeah, Barbara used to thin it out to have to cut it. I had to thin it out to comb it. Should have took out stock in a comb company because I busted more teeth out of a comb. I couldn't comb it. Finally, I got disgusted. This real young little lady right here sitting used to cut my hair a lot. One day, I just told her, cut it all off. She don't remember that. Debbie's mama told her, cut it all off. My little girl says, what? They spent 3 days doing one of these numbers standing behind me. Dad lost all of his hair. Well, Romans 8:8 gives us a little insight in why we were put to death on the cross. Romans 8:8 says, and those that are in the flesh, and as living a life that caters to sinful appetites and impulses, cannot please God. You know, well, let me go down to the first part of verse 9. It says, however, you're not living in the flesh, and you're not controlled by sinful nature, but you and I are to be controlled by the Spirit of God. God has taken our old nature, our flesh, we call it. It was by a couple other names, the old man. And he's finished with it. Done with it. And being God is done with our old flesh, there's nothing in our human nature or our old nature that can satisfy the heart of God. And this includes what you do. You set out, oh, I'm going to work for Jesus. And you go out and you do this in the flesh. If God hasn't called you to do this, I don't care what it is, it's going to be utter failure. And God's not going to be pleased with it. You know, he tells us he's going to try things, and things that are done in the flesh, or what does he calls it, wood and hay and stubble, it's going to be burnt up. But those things that he has called us to do, and we have sacrificially done for him, things that gold and silver are going to be refined. Because everything of the flesh and our human nature just cannot satisfy God, because it's of self. And in that, God has no plans to improve your human nature. Okay? The only plan God had for your human nature, he's done it already. He put it nailed it on the cross, put it on the cross, and crucified it. That's all. 2 Corinthians 5:17-18. Very familiar verses of Scripture. He says, therefore, if anyone in Christ is grafted in or joined to him by faith in him as Savior, he is a new creature, reborn, renewed by the Holy Spirit. And old things, the previous moral and spiritual conditions, have passed away. Revolutionary new change in their life. They've been done away with. in 2 Corinthians 5:17. And he says, behold, new things have become new and are becoming new because spiritual awakening brings a new life. In the first part of verse 18, he says, but all these things are from God. God has made you a new creature. You didn't make yourself a new creature. God has made you a new creature. Wow. He didn't clean up your old life. He didn't fix it. He didn't make you a better person because your flesh was so desperately wicked and my flesh was so bad and so utterly awful before the face of God that he crucified it, put it to death. And in doing this, we as believers now, we need to see ourselves in the light of Galatians 2:20 because we need to realize that when Christ died, and I am out of the way, and now I am a new person. Now, there's two aspects of the death of Christ. Two words we use many times is substitution. We're not going to get into that, but identification. It's a word being used today. Man thinks he can identify whatever he wants to. I'm not going to go there. College professors tell me I can identify as a lampshade if I want to. Whatever you want to identify with. I tried to get away with it here at church. Tried to identify as a woman and to go on a nice women's luncheon. They sounded good where they were going to go eat. They wouldn't let me. They wouldn't. Nancy wouldn't let me go. I said, well, today I identify. But, you know, we think, and I'm going to try to explain this. We think we use the term that we identify with Christ. And this is not a wrong term by any means. But a lot of times we use this term as from the outside. I identify with Christ. Now, as you grow in the Lord, you begin to see this and you begin to use this term because that's what you want to identify with. But stop and think of it as just the opposite. Because there's nothing in Scripture tells us that you shed your blood with Christ. The death of Christ on a cross in Romans 6 that we have just read to you is all exclusive. When Christ died on a cross, he included you. He identified first with you before you could identify with him. So our identification, stop and think first, our identification with him first. Do you follow me? Because he identified with you first on the cross. God didn't die only to shed his blood, but he died that we might die also with him. He died as our representative, and his death included you and I on that cross. And in realizing that our sins are dealt with by the blood, but we ourselves are dealt with by the cross. The blood procures our pardon, but the cross procures our deliverance from what we are in Adam, our whole new nature. The blood can wash away our sins, but it cannot wash away your old nature. Your old nature had to be put to death. It needed to be crucified. You see, we need to realize in our identification that when we were crucified with Christ, that the cross went to the root of our problems, the very root. And this is why later on we'll look at this, but there's two sides to the cross. One side, the blood was shed to wash away your sins. The other side of the cross, that you may identify with Him. And that He not only washed away your sins, but He did away with your old nature. Now, just for the sake of illustration, I'm going to use alcohol. Now, this could apply to many things. Many years ago, our government seen fit to do away with alcohol altogether. They made it a law that you couldn't drink it anymore. They went to the places that served alcohol and they busted up the bottles, poured it out. They closed stills down, part of the country where Fern and I come from. They went to close the wineries down and they closed breweries down in an effort to do away with alcohol. Now, if you go around and you bust up all the bottles, beer bottles in the country and all the wine and liquor bottles or whatever, have you done away with it? No. If you make a law that you could no longer drink it, does that do away with it? No. People are going to do it anyway. There's only one way to do it, and that's completely destroy 100% of the factories, the manufacturing companies that manufacture it, as well as any other item that you want to put in there besides alcohol. Now, the point that I want to make is that you and I are the manufacturing companies of sin. And our actions are the products of this manufacturing company. So when you and I were put on the cross, our old nature was crucified and put to death that we no longer should produce sin. Can't make rules and regulations in a church that, oh, this list of things here are sin and you can't do them. And I know of churches that do this, and this is real prevalent in the South, that you can't do these all these rules and regulations. And Earl used to talk about rules and regulations a lot. Seeing Mary Jane sit there, we're not going to follow rules and regulations. It's not biblical at all. You see, God knows this. So God had to take the sin-producing factory at you and me, and He had to put us to death, and He had to crucify us. You see, the blood of Christ deals with the question of our products, and that's our sins. But what about the question of who we are? Our sins are the product of us. We have been dealt with. But how are we going to be, you know, our sins have been dealt with, but how are we going to be dealt with? Do you believe that the Lord would cleanse away all of our sins and leave us to get rid of the sin-producing factory? Doesn't work that way. You can't do it. The same way is, do you believe that having put away the goods that's produced, the sin, that He would leave us to deal by ourselves with the source of our productions? No, we can't do it. This is why God had to deal with it in the way He did, in the only way that He could deal with it. The blood covered your sins, but He had to take the sin-producing factory and put it to death and destroy it, that it wouldn't continue to produce. And this is why He says, that we are no longer slave to sin, that it has been put to death with Him. Our old nature has been put to death. Romans 6:6 tells us to know this. Or in other words, that you and I, we need to realize this if we're going to grow and mature in Him. So guess what? You're dead. You're dead. Stop and think about it. You're dead. That ought to even get some Baptists to shout. You're dead. Wow. It was a good day when I realized that I'm dead. Wow. Okay, let's pray. Father, once again, we give you so much thanks for your word. And Father, thank you, Lord, that you sent the Holy Spirit to illuminate us, open up our minds, and give us understanding. Father, thank you for washing away and forgiving us of our sins. But also, Lord, we thank you that you put our sin manufacturing company to death, nailed it on the cross, that we no longer have to produce sin in our lives. Father, there's so many things that your Spirit is teaching us to realize and understand. Lord, we just give you thanks for that. We thank you, Lord, for your life. We thank you that you've come to live in us. And Father, may we abide in you for all eternity. In Christ's name, amen.